calling this meeting to order at 1:30 then. Moving on to, since we have a quorum, the minutes from September 24th, 2020. Motion, please.
I've reviewed the minutes and make a motion to approve. Mayor Neugebauer.
Did we get a second?
Second, Bobby Becerra-Rittman.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Moving on to staff reports. Attachment 3A, Curtis.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Chairwoman. So attachment 3A, you'll see we're about a quarter through the budget. We spent about 29% of the budget. Reason we're a little bit high is because we did get our PMG or our PMG company, which did the PCIs for the greater Akron area for us, are completely finished. So we're planning on we're wrapping those up, done our review check, and we'll be sharing those with you. But otherwise, we're in very good shape with the budget, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
There's no questions. Could we have a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve.
Connie Krause, I'll second.
Who was the motion?
Yeah, who was
Jim Bowling motion.
Oh, okay.
Thank
Jim
you.
Bowling. Thanks, Jim.
What's up, Benji?
You ready, Carrie?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Okay, Curtis, the technical progress report.
All right, so just a few things. We'll try to be quick because we do have a large agenda. You'll see the last couple components of our long-range plan that we're working to approve here. That's a big part of this meeting as we move into final approval of the plan in May. I know I've met with a lot of communities so far and working to schedule the last of those meetings to discuss important projects with all of you. Also, after this meeting and before the new year, Carrie will be sending out the mailings about your membership, who do you want as your policy reps, your TAC reps, etc., or if there are no changes, so be on the lookout for those. Also, for those of you in the Ohio and Erie Canal Coalway or Ohio and Erie Canal study area, they are right now there are grants available for their strategic planning through that corridor through Summit County. Those are due on January 10th. If it's something that you're interested in, I can get you more information. Also, looks like there's going to be additional stimulus passed, although I think there is some money potentially for transit in there, but I don't think there's any highway money in there at this point. But that's something we continue to track, as well as if we could see a transportation bill, which, you know, there's some positive discussion about transportation. However, I'm in a believe it when we see it type attitude at this point. Finally, I just, again, with, we've now been doing these remote meetings for a few times now, and I just want to thank everybody for being flexible with us as we navigate these waters with such a large group. Unfortunately, I think we're probably planning on continuing this format at least through March of 2021. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions if there were anything on the technical progress.
Seeing as there's no questions, the AMAT Federal Funds Report, Attachment 3C.
All right, thank you again. So our 3C attachment is basically, I think the biggest thing on here, and we talked quite a bit about it at our TAC meeting, is that AMATS did have about a $3.2 million budget in 2020 in the 2021 fiscal year, which at the time of the $3.2 million was actually, some of it was subject to carryover. When that happens, our first step is subject to ODOT recall, not carryover. So we carry over more than we could, and potentially we'd have to send some back to ODOT. Since that time, the first thing we do is ask communities if they can move their projects up. We did have two volunteers to move their projects up resurfacing with Summit County Engineer's Office on Smith Road, and then Chestnut Boulevard and Cuyahoga Falls moved up to fill in that gap. So we aren't at subject anymore to a concern about recall. However, there is still about $2 million in 2021 over budget that, while, you know, it's typically reserved for carryover into future years, if there is other communities that are able to move projects up, that money is available. Otherwise, with that, we're also kind of experiencing, and Dave could talk about it more, some CMAQ carryover at the statewide level. So there could be some potential opportunities there if anyone has a CMAQ project as well. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Seeing as there's no questions, we'll move on to old business. Curtis, the CMP report is attachment 4A.
Yes, thank you again. So congestion management report was brought to you guys in September. We asked for communities to review the report. We received no comments. The CMP looks at everything from, looks at congestion in freight, dealing with safety. We do analysis using GPS and time travel, free flow speed analysis, which is the first time we've done that. As to be expected, you know, the highest freeway congestion area that we see is on Route 8, you know, about south of Talmadge into the Central Interchange. Some of the more congested local corridors were State Route 14 in Streetsboro, State Route 91 in Hudson, State Route 241 in Green. All kind of met that indicator, and I know there's a lot of projects that have either just been completed or that are going to be or that are underway as we speak that I think we can anticipate potentially seeing some reductions in that. So, but with that, AMATS recommends approval of the CMP.
If there's no questions, could I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Mayor Neugebauer.
A second, please.
Adamson, New Franklin.
Thank you. All those in favor, aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Moving on to the 2045 data forecast.
All right, thank you.
Attachment 4B.
Yes, thank you again. As input to the AMATS long-range plan, Transportation Outlook 2045, we develop a planning data forecast that looks at socioeconomic base year data from 2010 and projected out to 2045. It's used as an input to our transportation model and also forecasts air quality emissions. This is a document that you guys saw, actually it was more than a year ago, where we, you know, we try to project overall what we think are the growth rates in the area, and then we have to go back and sort of fill it out at the micro level for our traffic zones, which is a component of the model. So overall in our forecast, I will say that, you know, we know for sure forecasts are wrong, but in our forecast, you know, what we're doing it based off of 2010 base year data, so we use mostly census, true census, not estimates. So this data is 9 years old as well, so there is a risk of not capturing more recent trends, and obviously with the pandemic, some economic trends as well. But we are projecting AMAT's region to grow by about 2.4% in population and 17% in employment. Our high growth areas are really going to be in Northeast, Northwest Portage County and Southern Summit County. We do believe that we'll still see high growth in employment in Northern Summit as well as Southwest Portage. Some of the employment sectors that we expect to see changes in are a continued growth in healthcare, construction, with a decline in utilities and a continued decline in manufacturing, which is what we've kind of seen in the last few years. The planning data forecast provides basically just one possible vision for the future. However, as we know, anything is certain. And really, it's just meant to be a planning tool to help illustrate potential future planning challenges. So the AMAT staff recommends approval of the 2045 planning data forecast.
I'll make that motion, Bashara Rittman.
I'll second.
Johnson. Go ahead.
Somehow I became muted. I apologize. Okay, moving on to
the vote.
Motion to approve?
We have a motion and a second.
All those. Yeah, where was I at? Oh, we had a motion to approve.
We had the motion and we had the second. We just needed the vote.
Okay, motion to approve.
So moved. Broska.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Sorry, I got derailed here.
Okay.
Any opposed?
All those opposed say nay. Okay, moving on to new business. Transportation planning. Curtis, attachment 5A.
Okay, yes. So attachment 5A is the Ohio Department of Transportation, AMETS, both commit to developing what's called a prospectus document, which is basically all of our agreements, our bylaws, our description of the region, all of that stuff being put in one place. We are required to keep that updated, although the last update to the prospectus was in 1997. So we are finally gotten around to updating it. We updated where all of our agreements are in terms of with communities. I believe Mayor Adamson had already pointed out that there were some communities that didn't have agreements, basically because when we formed in, say, 1970 and we did a big swath of agreements, some communities weren't incorporated. We've taken care of that with Green already. We have an agreement in place, but we are working to solidify those last few agreements. But this really is a document that we can provide to ODOT so that they can see basically the description of how AMETS is set up and run, and does not change any of the existing bylaws or statutes that AMETS follows. So with that, AMETS would recommend approval of the prospectus.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, motion to approve.
Broska, so moved.
Do I have a second?
Second, and Mayor Neugebauer.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Moving on to resolution 2020-17, attachment 6A, and Dave Poulet is going to be presenting.
Oh, I'll do that one, Mayor. Dave's going to do 6D, I think.
I apologize.
You're fine. Okay, so attachment 6A, this memo discussed the TIP amendment in the fiscal year 2021 program for Metro RTA, with recently awarded funding from ODOT and FTA. It adds new funds for a transit-oriented development planning study, adds funds for a large bus replacement project that includes four CNG vehicles, and performs administrative modification to several existing projects to include the new OTP key funds just received. So with that, we are recommending approval of resolution 2020-17.
This is Connie Krause. I move to approve that.
I'll second, Nancy.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Moving on to resolution 2020-18, attachment 6B, Curtis.
All right, thank you. So as part of our Connecting Communities initiative, AMETS developed a grant program that made funding available, $80,000 for two planning grants. We actually had started the process a year ago, and due to the pandemic and some issues, kind of delayed it or slow-walked the approval of the planning grants. AMETS staff scored applications. We had received five of them, and met on May 27th to review the applications and recommend award recipients. The top two applications were submitted by PARTA with Franklin Township in Portage County, and then the City of Stowe is also a recipient. There are descriptions of both planning grants on the following page of Attachment 6B, but AMATS and the staff recommend approval of Resolution 2020-18 awarding the Connecting Communities planning grants.
Could I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve resolution 2020-18.
Second, Mayor Gansey.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Moving on to resolution 2020-19, attachment 6C, Curtis.
Thank you again. So we've also received requests to make the following, or to add the following projects to the 2021 to 2024 TIP. That includes the I-77 widening southern section, one lane in each direction from I-77 between Gent and Everett. Then we also have the I-77 widening northern section, which is from Everett to the Ohio Turnpike. Then we also have State Route 21 pavement replacement, which is a Wayne County Chippewa Township project to perform full depth replacement on State Route 21. AMAT's staff recommends approval to resolution 2020-19.
I'll make that motion. Bashara Rittman.
Seconded. Mayor Neugebauer.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Moving on to resolution 2020-20, traffic crashes, Curtis.
All right, so we'll hand this one over to Dave. We are going to share screen to Dave's presentation today. So this will be a slightly new feature. I hope it works well. And Dave, take it away.
Okay, can everyone hear me all right?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Curtis. You know, I think it's kind of neat how we are presenting the CMS report and the crash report at the same meeting, because in many ways I truly think that the two kind of have a cause and effect with each other. But anyhow, briefly, we're going to go through the 2017-2019 crashes. We want to look at trends, not just number of crashes, but actually the number of injuries and fatalities. We'll look at the high crash section and intersections, bicycle and pedestrian safety, safety performance measures, and then we'll touch on the ODOT safety program. Not a whole lot of difference between 2019 and 2018 crashes actually went down a little bit, about 951 less total crashes. Injuries decreased slightly, and the top line vehicle miles traveled remained nearly the same. I want to explain that a crash is one event. You can have one crash, but it can involve two, three, maybe even more vehicles, and multiple people. You can have multiple injuries or fatalities. So in 2019, injury crashes decreased a little bit by 160, and injuries by 129. So both of those were down a little bit. Serious injuries, which is something we never used to talk about. We used to just say property damage, injury, or fatal. But now ODOT is looking more closely at a class called serious injuries. And unfortunately, in 2019, serious injuries were up. The number of crashes and the number of serious injuries were up slightly. And unfortunately, fatalities increased by 12 from 18. We had 43 fatal crashes and 44 fatalities. And what I did on this slide is I graphed a trend line. And as you can see, the thick black line across the top is a trend line. And over the years, fatalities have gone up and down. It seems like they fluctuate quite a bit. But over the years, that trend line is almost perfectly level. So I suppose it may seem like some years, you know, it's bad news. But I guess when you look at the, you know, back over a longer period of time, it's about the same. I was amazed when I looked at that.
Hey, Dave, it looks like you're actually declining a little bit.
It could be. It could be. Now, we don't want to talk about, now, we don't want to talk about 2020, because 2020 so far has not been too good of a year. And what blows my mind is traffic has actually been, has actually decreased, but fatalities, serious injuries, well, we'll talk about that next year. Not looking too good for 2020. So, briefly, the way we analyze crashes is we download them from HubSpot, and then we plot them in a GIS map that we have, using coordinates that comes with the crash data. We do a lot of checking and referencing police reports. A lot of crashes are plotted incorrectly, especially in urban areas where you have, well, like in Akron, State Route 261 is Broadway Street going northbound, and it's highway, it's High Street going southbound, and sometimes those get mixed up. Freeway interchanges, we sort out all the crashes. Some are on the main line, some are at the ramps and the intersecting street. And then we have to decide if the crash was intersection or non-intersection. Intersection crashes are usually crashes that involve two vehicles and they're 250 feet within the intersection of the two streets. So high crash criteria for roadway sections is 10 crashes per mile per year, and a minimum crash rate of one crash per million vehicles. For intersection, a minimum of 10 crashes in the three-year period and a crash rate of one per million approach vehicles. And then we calculate a composite score. That score is based on the total number of crashes, how it ranks. That's 40% of the score. The crash rate is 30% of the score, and the severity index is 30% of the score. And then, so the composite score takes into account more than just the number of crashes. We had 181 highway sections that met the minimum criteria. Highway crashes are listed in Table 1 of the crash memorandum. The number one ranking crash was State Route 18, Medina Road in Montrose. No big surprise, this is almost like the perfect storm for crashes. It's very busy, it's very wide, seven, eight lanes, lots of driveways, and most of the crashes were rear-end crashes. In fact, 35% of them were rear-end crashes. The number one first of all, 350 intersections met the minimum criteria. Those are listed in Table 2 of the crash memo. The number one ranked intersection was in Streetsboro, the intersection of State Route 303 and 14 and State Route 43. Once again, very busy, very a lot of trucks, some congestion, and the perfect storm for crashes.
Dave, can I interject for 1 minute?
Yes, sure.
We're finishing up the Citywide Signal project, and we have changed a number based on a lot of the information we got from AS. We changed a number of locations in the city to left turn only on green. And the preliminary reports, and it's empirical data, but the preliminary reports from the police department already is that our crashes at these intersections, and I'm going to be very curious to see what the results are, but our crashes at these intersections, since we have changed the way that these signals work, have gone down exponentially. And I'm kind of very excited because this is what we got the money for, was to reduce these crashes. Oh. And I'm very excited to see that, you know, granted, it's only part of 2019, and the first full year will be 2020. Or excuse me, it's only part of 2020. First full year will be 2021. But I am, I'm very anxious to see how this has had an effect. So far to us, and to what we've heard from the police department, it's had a profound effect. So It does work.
Okay? What I've seen in other communities is an improvement. When you take a signal that is that has a left turn phase and you make it fully protected, there's quite an improvement. I will be anxious to see what that shows next year. Freeways, we do not analyze freeways. We rely on ODOT to do the freeway analyses. They divide them up into rural and urban locations. They take 1/10 mile sections, and sometimes it's very difficult unless you have the log points, unless you're familiar with log points and such, to figure out where these are. And ODOT considers the top 50 and top 50 rural and top 50 urban statewide for further study. And actually, they're a little behind this year. The 2019 locations have not been released. At least I couldn't find them, so I couldn't tell you which ones they were. Moving on to bike and pedestrian crashes, they have a high percentage of injuries, 73% and 83% respectively, more random and spread out. It's unlike vehicular accidents, bike and pedestrians, you very rarely have like 20 occurring at one intersection or on one segment. They're just all over the place. Many times in residential neighborhoods, many involve younger people, and many times bike riders that are under the driving age just may not be aware of the rules they need to follow, such as stopping at a red light or stopping at a stop sign. So with these type of crashes, education is often very effective countermeasure. Bike crashes decreased. They have been decreasing over the past 3 years. Unfortunately, we had 6 fatal bicycle-related crashes in 2019. So, unfortunately, bicycle crash fatalities are up. And pedestrian crashes, they stayed almost the same in the last 3 years, but unfortunately the number of crashes remained the same, but the number of fatalities increased. We went from 3 to 13, and for the 3 year period we had 24, so that is unfortunate news. A couple trends I've noticed. This has been consistent throughout the years. The month of October is always the highest month for pedestrian crashes. We used to think it was cause of Halloween, but when you look at the crash reports closer, what I truly think it is a combination of nice weather and shorter days. And people are out running, biking, walking, whatever, in the darkness. And the time of day for pedestrian crashes. You can see between 7 and 8 in the morning, there's a big spike. Those are probably people walking to school, walking to work, unfortunately, sometimes in darkness. And then, of course, it's no big surprise as people go out in the afternoons, there's another spike between 5 and 6. Safety performance measures, this is a new requirement for ODOT and the MPOs. We have to keep track of number of fatalities, fatalities per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, number of serious injuries per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, and number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. So what we did is we started in 2011 and we took a 5-year average, and then that was our base average. That was our base mark, and then ever since we've been taking 5 years of data, averaging them and comparing it to those first 5 years. And MATS supports the ODOT goal of reducing these numbers by 2% each year. So, unfortunately, the number of fatalities were up 4%. Fatalities per 100 million vehicle miles traveled up 7%. Serious injuries were down 27%. Serious injuries per million vehicle miles traveled down 26%, and number of motorized fatalities and serious injuries down 15%. The ODOT safety program is one of the most robust in the country, spends over $150 million annually on projects that address high crash locations on any public road. Applications due on April 30th and September 30th at the district office with Dave Griffith. Funding is available for studies, design, right-of-way, and construction. Typical requests from $50,000 to $5 million and sometimes more, and local match is 10%. Now, at one point in time, they took the 10% local match away, but they recently put it back after they looked at gas tax numbers and such. So we're back to 10%, but it's still a very good deal. So that's it for 2017, 2019. If you have any questions about any location in your community, even if it isn't on the crash list, give us a call. I'd be glad to look at it in person, see what if I have any suggestions. If you have any questions about the crash report at all, just give me a call or an email, and that's it. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them.
Yes. Hey, Dave, I just wanted to make a comment. We talked about the intersection improving with the light conditions, and recently we looked at our roundabouts. We have now 8 of them. But we looked at traffic accidents the last 3 years, 21 accidents, I believe. Not a single one had an injury. So, right. You know, that's something that we know is an effective way to handle traffic. And the most effective thing is when you have an accident, it tends to be property damage only.
Yes.
And the data does support that. So
yes.
Just wanted to point that out. I'm speaking as an engineer, not a politician, because obviously there's plenty of backlash to them. But they do serve a purpose.
Yes, very true. We have done studies on other roundabouts, and we have found the same. We have found the same conclusions.
I think I saw your hand up.
I just wanted to make a statement to everybody. What Dave said. And by the way, Dave, thank you very much. That was great. But one really important thing we found was, and I just wanted to share with the group, and if the mayors and everyone could just make sure your police departments are doing this. Our police department, we found out when we started looking at some of the traffic accident locations, it's very important that they get those addresses right. We found a few officers were actually coming back to the station, doing their reports, putting in the police station's address and the northings and eastings of the police station, and that made it look like we had a bunch of accidents at our police station, and we really didn't. So we had to go back through all of that with our data team and get it all corrected, but definitely pass along to your police department to make sure that they get those addresses, and hopefully if they can get a northing and easting on it, it'd be really great. So when we do pull that data, we get the exact location. That's all. I just wanted to make that comment. But great, great report, Dave. I appreciate it.
My coworker, Amy Prater, she looks at these very closely, and I think she found nearly 800 at the Akron Police Department this year. 2019 was a new OH1 report, and I don't know if you're not familiar with what that is. It's the report that the officer actually codes. And 2019, I think there were a few glitches. I'm not sure, but I don't know why, but we always have a few that happen at the Akron Police Department. But in 19, there were far more than usual. So Amy checks those things, and we try to correct when we find things like that. We do try to put those accidents where they belong.
You know, Dave, the other comment, Mayor Neugebauer, the other comment I wanted to make, you know, we've had some really strange accidents this year, even in times when there was very little travel. It seemed like There was less traffic, but more accidents.
Yes.
And certainly the percentage of accidents per lane mile traveled was a significant increase. We had one intersection that we had one or two accidents a year, and we had four within like 6 weeks. And a couple of them were car flips, serious accidents.
Yes.
We did do some safety sightline improvements, those sorts of things. But really an odd year with the decreased traffic and getting a lot of accidents.
Yes, I agree. And one of the I don't know if anyone is really quite sure why that is happening, other than perhaps with less traffic, people are driving faster. Maybe people are driving more careless. It is a strange phenomenon that seems to be happening throughout the region.
Yeah, and Dave, that's true, and I know Dave alluded to it, but I mean, we're well over 50-some fatalities already this year. So when you look at last year when we were in the 40s, and that didn't even include the three folks that passed away in Portage County over the weekend. It's the numbers are definitely rough this year, and very strange considering the ADT component. But I agree. I think distracted driving is a huge component of it. I think that the cars themselves are becoming so much more distracting, you know, without even a phone. But then on top of that, with the phone and the notification ability, every time we've done a survey, we see at least 14 or 15% we capture on their phones driving by. And so you assume when you're not looking, if you just assume 10% of the people are driving on their phones when they're, you know, in the vehicles, it could explain quite a bit.
An interesting fact that I heard when I attended a safety workshop that was presented by ODOT, they are trying to use some new form of equipment that it'll act as a device that can actually detect how many cell phones are actually being used on a road during a certain time. So if that ever happens, that would really be interesting data to see. But right now, we can't really, I don't think there's any way. I mean, you can try and visually look, but it's so hard. And on roads that have a lot of traffic, it's really difficult to really try to count everyone that's on a phone. But supposedly, there's actually a technology now that will do that. So it'll be interesting to see that data if they actually follow through with it. Chad, do you know anything about that?
I don't. I know we do get tons of data on cell phone. We contract with, whether it's the cell phone companies or different apps, and we get tons of data as far as cell phones. I don't know if we get when they're on relative to their driving, but we garner just tons of information from cell phones. I will say fatalities are up 6.5% this year, and overall truck traffic is up anywhere from 15 to 20%, and car traffic, we had started to peak at 13% down, but since the governor started putting more restrictions back in place, it's now in the 20% range again, where vehicular travel is down, and like Dave said, we are seeing an uptick in the serious injuries and the fatalities.
What's really changed too is peak hours. Like peak hours have really, especially morning peak hours, aren't really back like they were at one time. Maybe traffic throughout the whole day might be down, 10, 12, 15%, but peak hours are really down yet, because there's still people out going places, but they may not be going to work at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 in the morning. So it's just the whole pattern is somewhat different.
Well, I guess we do need a motion on this, Mayor Clark.
Sure. Sure. So moved, Gansey.
Second.
Roger, second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Moving on to Resolution 2020-21.
All right. So thank you again. So our final resolution today is actually just a concurrence resolution with a project up in NOAACA land, up in Greater Cleveland. So as many of you know, that we are part of a larger air quality non-attainment area that includes most of the counties in Cleveland, Medina, Lorain, Cuyahoga, and Lake, and Geauga. And then there's us. And one of the things we need to do along with Erie County is we need to concur with their air quality analysis when they're doing anything that could have a negative impact on air quality emissions. And so they are proposing a new interchange, which involves a partial diamond on I-77 and Miller Road. AMATS has reviewed their air quality analysis, and we do concur with the analysis, and staff recommends that we would approve this concurrence. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We don't need a motion on that one, do we, Curtis?
We do still need a motion, yeah.
Motion to approve resolution 2020-21.
I'll second, Gonsu.
All those in favor? Say
aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. Moving on to other business, 2021 officer nominations.
Yeah, so I'll take this one as well. So as many of you know, with the last slate of nominations, we've kind of committed to going to a two-year term. Mayor Clark and Mayor Neugebauer as vice chair have just completed with this meeting their first year as chair and vice chair. And AMATS staff was looking for a nomination to support them in their current roles through the year of 2021.
I'll make that motion, Bashira Rittman.
I'll second, Gonsu, Boston Heights.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Okay, moving on to the 2021 AMATS meeting calendar.
All right, well, congratulations, Ms. Chairwoman and Mr. Vice Chair on your nominations. And I'm sure it'll be a nice, fun 2021. It can't be any worse than this, right?
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah, but knock on wood, knock on wood. So the 2021 AMATS committee meetings, biggest thing is, you know, we are hoping that we'll have our annual meeting on October 8th, as usual, Friday in October. Please save the date. We have our usual slate of meetings, and like I said, our anticipation is that January and March will be run via Zoom, hopefully in May, potentially returning to seeing all of you guys in person. But we are requesting a motion with this calendar.
Roscoe, I'll make that motion.
A second?
Who was the second?
I'll second it. Mayor Clark. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Okay, if there's no other discussion, I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, Happy Holidays, and everybody be safe out there, and thanks for appointing me another year.